Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seifker, blessed to be here with you today, along with my co-host and companion for life, Rhonda Branham. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, on last week's show, we spoke with Mr. Richard Mahoney, founder and director of the National American Holocaust Memorial, located in a former abortion center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Mr. Mahoney is also the founding director of the Pro-Life Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in St. Joseph, Missouri, which is dedicated to offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass for an end to abortion. Last week, one of the things we heard about was how a former site that put unborn children to death has now become a place dedicated to life. We'll continue our discussion today with Mr. Richard Mahoney, but first things first, Rhonda's going to start us off in prayer.
Virgin of Guadalupe, patroness of unborn children, we implore your intercession for every child at risk of abortion. Help expectant parents to welcome from God the priceless gift of their child's life. Console parents who have lost that gift through abortion and lead them to repentance and healing through the divine mercy of your Son. Teach us to cherish and to care for family and friends until God calls them home. Help us never to see others as burdens. Guide our public officials to defend each and every human life through just laws. Inspire us all to bring our faith into public life, to speak for those who have no voice. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is love and mercy itself. Amen. Let's go now to this week's In the News.
The Bloomington Women's Care Center was the site of recent vandalism this past Tuesday night when delinquents smeared fake blood over the door and entryway of the Pregnancy Help Center. As employees arrived to work Wednesday morning, they noticed the defacing of the property and called the police. A similar substance was also found in three other similar cases, and Bloomington police are investigating whether all four incidents are connected. This is not the first time that the Bloomington Women's Care Center has been vandalized. A window was shattered several months ago, and other minor property damage has been reported. Pregnancy care centers throughout the country are increasingly under attack by extreme abortion supporters because of the successes they are having in helping vulnerable women choose life. And Planned Parenthood has launched a new model of its so-called reproductive health services by opening 50 clinics inside Los Angeles area high schools. The new program partners the nation's biggest abortion provider with the school district and county health department. The initiative is funded to the tune of $10 million from Los Angeles County and $6 million from Planned Parenthood itself. The high school Planned Parenthood centers offer a full range of birth control products, STD testing and treatments, and abortion counseling. Students are able to leave class for an appointment, and medical files are not accessible to parents without the express permission of the student. According to the developers, the program also plans to train hundreds of teens to be peer advocates to provide information about safe sex and relationships. Five of the Planned Parenthood centers open just a few weeks into the school year, with the remainder to be added before June. And yet another recent study is showing the mental harm done to women by taking hormonal contraception. The study, Association of Hormonal Contraception with Suicide Attempts and Suicides, was conducted by Danish researchers and published in the American Journal of Psychiatry. The transdermal contraceptive patch, which releases synthetic estrogen and progestin into a woman's body to prevent pregnancy, was linked to the highest increase in suicide and suicide attempts. Intrauterine devices, or IUDs, the vaginal ring, and the birth control pill all followed. The authors noted how synthetic hormones have a direct influence on the neurotransmitter and hypothalamic pituitary adrenal system, which is involved in stress regulation and in the neurobiology of suicidal behavior. The data collected demonstrates a rapid increase in first suicide attempt after initiation of hormonal contraception, the researchers stated. In 2016, Danish researchers also found that women who use hormonal contraception were more likely to be diagnosed as clinically depressed and taking antidepressants antidepressants along with their daily birth control pill. And an Indiana town just west of Fort Wayne in Allen County has passed a pro-life resolution stating that every human life is unique and precious to God and humankind. The proclamation, which was passed last Tuesday by New Haven Council members, quote, encourages our state and federal government to use every legal means to protect and fight for every human life, including the lives of unborn boys and girls, close quote. New Haven is the first municipality in Indiana to draft such a resolution, but it is not an ordinance, nor does it enforce policy. And finally, 13 unborn children were killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Three of those babies' mothers came from the neighboring state of Kentucky. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were once again on hand to offer love, hope, and help to the women going in. Be sure to join local pro-lifers on Saturday, December 21st, as they gather to do some Christmas caroling there at 421 South College Avenue, beginning at 11 a.m. Song sheets and cookies and drinks will be provided. And that's your weekly in the news. So on last week's Pro-Life to the Max, we had Mr. Richard Mahoney on telling us all about the National American Holocaust Memorial in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And if you missed last week's show, you can listen to it easily enough by going to wombradio.com and clicking on episode 65 for December 6th. Well, we're going to pick up where we left off last week and welcome Mr. Mahoney back onto the show. Hi, Richard, and thanks so much for your time with us again.
Viva Christo Rey. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit more about the National American Holocaust Memorial there in Baton Rouge.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm just going to give you like an introduction. Before people come that take tours of the Holocaust Memorial, I give a little introduction.
Okay.
And I say to them, well, you know, Stalin had a famous saying. He said to his generals before he sent them out to mass murder millions of people, he said, the death of one man is a sorrowful tragedy. The death of a million is merely a statistic. Well, is that not what we are doing with these abortion holocausts? You know, every year at the March for Life, people say to me, how many is it this year? Oh, it's down. It's only about a million now. Now, just think about that statement. We just killed a million children, and that's even a falsehood because from my statistics, only 7% of abortionists actually report the abortion. And we'll go into that later. But that we treat this 60-something million that's reported. And like I said, New York doesn't report, California doesn't report, a lot of states don't report, and only those with the Abortion Federation report. So we'll go into that later. But that we treat this not as a Holocaust and face the truth about what we've done, but we treat these babies as statistics. If you go to our website, you'll actually see I compare the American Holocaust abortion to the Nazi Holocaust, and the statistics are unbelievable. Matter of fact, the United States spent $200 million building the National Holocaust Memorial in Washington, D.C. to tell about the Nazi Holocaust. Matter of fact, they have thousands do their doctorate studies on it, and millions, nearly probably 40 million people have been through the Holocaust Memorial of the Nazis in Washington, D.C., and all of that is there. But if you look at the statistics of abortion worldwide and in the United States, we may kill like a Boy Scout. And sadly, when they exploded the bomb over Hiroshima, the front page of the paper said, we have tapped the very power of God. When they completed the Genome Project, the front page of the paper said, we are God. We control who lives and dies. And sadly to say, this culture of death, as Pope John Paul II said, is literally ingrained in our society. And we must remove that by the truth, the truths of our Catholic Christian faith. Now, have you ever heard of Immaculate, who wrote the book, Elected Hell? She gives tours to tell about the Rwandan Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to her, and she actually, after talking to me, mentions about the abortion, the Holocaust in America when she gives her tours. But if you read her book, Elected Hell, her worst tragedy wasn't that her family was killed, her parents were brothers and sisters, her relatives, her friends. But she said the worst horror of that Holocaust was that for 3 months, the whole world looked on and did what? Absolutely nothing. They were being cut up with machetes and guns and mass murdered, and the world just watched. Well, what are we doing? Matter of fact, when I go to these events, I give out a brochure of the Church is Guilty Again, and that brochure has a picture of the average abortion clinic in America. It's usually surrounded by 19 churches, literally. So when they came to Our Lady of Mercy, I gave out that brochure to people coming in to hear Immaculate speak at the church, and the church was packed. And of all the people that went into the church, I asked them two questions. Do you know where the abortion clinic is in your city? And only one out of the whole church knew where it was. They were coming to hear about the Rwanda Holocaust. Right down the street, they had a death camp whose chain killed over 100,000 babies. So we bring them into the Holocaust Memorial, show them actually films before we bring them to the rooms that they kill in. And you can see that on the website, the films, and also the
And let's quickly mention that website again. It's cpforlife.org.
.org/memorial. If you don't hit slash memorial, you'll go to a different website. And so we bring them to the rooms. And two things that I find amazing about this particular time in history. I heard this story, and I experienced myself. A man went to a mall, and he asked the mall officials, he said, can I show a display of the Nazi Holocaust? And they said, sure. And he says, that we never forget, that we never forget. And so he set up a display of 50 pictures of the Nazi Holocaust. And the everybody that went by beat their breath, that we never forget. Well, at 12 noon, he switched the displays over, turned the pictures around, and there was pictures of the American Holocaust abortion. Well, of course, within 5 minutes, sheriffs, the mall security police had this man evicted. How dare you bring those graphic pictures in a public place?
Very telling.
No, we'll acknowledge every Holocaust in the world and condemn those who committed it. But we never, never, never condemn our own Holocaust. Because until we do, we can't repent of it. So I tell the people that come into the Holocaust Memorial a little story, because it's mostly school kids, high school kids and college kids. And I say to them, you know, I was praying in front of this death camp in the 80s, 1980s, and a friend of mine was praying with me. He said, listen, Rich, I got a confession to make. I said, what's that? He said, you know, I'm married. I got eight beautiful children. And, but, you know, when I was in college, I got my girlfriend pregnant, and I actually took her to an abortion clinic. And he said, I was sitting in the waiting room, and I was waiting, and I was reading a fishing book, and I was looking at the boats I wanted to buy, and I had a flashback of a priest who came into our school when I was in high school and showed us films and pictures of abortion. I jumped up, ran back to the back, told my girlfriend, no, we're going to get married, we're not going to do this. And now we're married, and we have eight children, and there's not a day that goes by over the last 20 years that I don't look at my oldest daughter, and she was 30 seconds away from being murdered.
Oh, thanks be to God. That's a good story. That's we don't hear too often.
Yeah, but guess what? Just think. If that daughter was killed, he wouldn't be married. He wouldn't have seven other kids. Mm-hmm. We have a picture that we have, and we give out to everybody. Life Institute, abortion changes everything, and it's a crib with a rose in it, and it has the sign, abortion changes anything. So I tell those who come into the Holocaust Memorial, I say, you know, today, I hope what you see doesn't just affect your sensibilities, but it goes to the depth of your soul. So someday when the devil tempts you, kill your child. Because statistics say 50% of you are going to have surgical abortions, 80% of you are going to have a chemical abortion. And they all say, oh, we would never do that. And I said, well, that's interesting, because the first job I had before I went into the medical field was teaching science. I had 180 students, six classes of 30 students, and I showed them pictures of the Holocaust. And they all said they wouldn't do that. And yet, 20 years later, I saw one of them actually working in an abortion clinic. And I asked her, what are you doing? She says, well, I've grown up now. Because I reminded her that she said she would never do this. And now she's actually participating in the killing. So I pray that what they see affects, goes to the depth of their soul. And so, you know, we really have to do a show on bioethics, because that is also tied into this. Matter of fact, let me give a brief call out for Children of God for Life, which gives you all the list of the vaccines.
And we had Debbie Vintage on the show a few months ago, so that's an excellent website.
And Sound Choice Pharmaceutical, because you need to understand the truth. And we'll go into that later if we have time. So anyway, I bring him into the death camp, and a woman wrote this many years ago. On entering the death camp, she entered the rooms where tens of thousands of innocent babies were brutally tortured and murdered. She gazed at the table where the mothers lay with their children, and this is what she saw. I saw despair lying there, lying in the face of women who could not accept love really exists, and if it did, it would never exist for them. I saw anger lying there. Life was seen as a loveless, joyous proposition where murder was even better. I saw helplessness lying there, helpless women herded toward abortion by family or friends who believed their duty was to allow nothing outside their own pleasure to live. I saw laughing the laughter lying there, the laughter of women who thought life was a joke. Abortion clinics are the modern-day concentration camps where women are driven by the tide of their own sins, anger, fears, and despair. Well, my experience talking to hundreds of thousands of women, one thing and one thing unites the reason every last one goes there, and that's fear. Fear of the future, fear of the present. And I tell them, the only friend the devil has is fear. I think if you fear, the devil is there. The opposite. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What is the opposite of the gift of the Lord? What did he say to his apostles?
Be not afraid.
Mm-hmm. Say, fear not. Fear not. Pope John Paul, St. Pope John Paul II said. So we actually, the first thing we talk about that I like to give to the students, what are the two national sins of America? Well, first was slavery, and that was the Dred Scott decision, and what was the next one? Abortion. And if you look at those decisions, they were both 72 decisions by the Supreme Court. If you take the word slave out and put unborn baby, they're the exact same decision. Dred Scott said a slave is a property of the owner, can be bought and sold or even killed by the owner's discretion. Although he may have a heart and a brain, and he may be a human life biologically, a slave is not a human person. But we say the exact same thing. An unborn baby is the property of the mother. He can have the baby killed by abortion. This can be done any time unto birth. Although he or she may have a heart and a brain, and he be a human life biologically, an unborn baby is not a legal person. Roe v. Wade. Wait a second. They're the exact same wording. Of course, one was overturned by the 14th Amendment. Well, we need the 15th Amendment, the 20th Amendment. We need the Human Life Amendment, where babies once again are given the dignity they deserve.
Okay, so Richard, let's start talking now about the National Pro-Life Memorial that's dedicated to offering the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass for an end to abortion. And so tell us about that ministry, too, that you've got.
As you know, for every sin, there needs to be reparation. Mm-hmm. I mean, that fact, when you go to confession, you tell the priest to avoid the proximate occasion of sin, never sin anymore, and the priest gives you a penance to make reparation. Well, I could do penance from now to eternity, the most severe, and not atone for one of these murders. Not one. The only thing that can atone for these, what we call mortal sins, these rebellions against God, the separation from God, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, at the American Holocaust Memorial, we have the tomb for the unknown baby. We have the American Holocaust Wall. And I'll go into that in another show. And we were getting ready to build a church where the holy sacrifice of the Mass could be offered at the end of the Holocaust. We have the room that used to be the doctor's room, where there's a temporary chapel right now in the Holocaust Memorial, where the holy sacrifice of the Mass is offered. But we wanted to build a beautiful church. And I got a call from a priest from St. Joseph, Missouri, Father Carney, and he said, there's a church for sale in St. Joseph, Missouri. And it's magnificent, but it's been closed now for 26 years. And it's got a lot of damage. It needs a lot of work. But I drove up there. I looked at it. I said, how much? And I said, sold. I said, what a perfect place for a national pro-life shrine. Dead center in the middle of the country. Matter of fact, in the days in the 1900s, that was the richest place in America, because everything that went out west stopped in St. Joseph, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Pony Express, all the cattle were transported out of there, and all the supplies to go out west were gotten from there. They had more millionaires there than anywhere in the country. And so, but then now it's a historic town, but there's not much industry or anything there, and that's a whole different story. But anyway, I said, what a great place. And this church is beautiful. And I said, yes. So I said, so I bought it. And so we made it into a national pro-life shrine. But of course, it was just a small private shrine, because, you know, only the church can designate something as a canonical shrine. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have a private shrine. You can have a pro-life shrine. We have shrines in Baton Rouge. We have shrines in Arkansas. We have shrines now in Missouri. But it's a private shrine. But so we asked the bishop if we can make it a canonical shrine and offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the end of the Holocaust of abortion, for each individual baby who was murdered, and for the conversion of the parents that haven't converted. In fact, we have hundreds of thousands of names of babies already that are scheduled for a Mass, because people have repented, and we, you know, we know the names of many babies who died because their bodies were thrown in dumpsters. In fact, the dumpsters, they put the names of the mothers of the babies. And, you know, we actually turned this in for HIPAA violations. They never prosecuted the abortionists for HIPAA violations. Amazing, totally amazing. Anyway, to make a long story short, we decided we're gonna for those who want a mass offer for the baby, an atonement for the sin of abortion, and for the end of this Holocaust, we were going to have a national shrine. And so we finally got permission to have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at the Pro-Life Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. Reverend Bishop Johnston of St. Joseph, Kansas City, gave us permission. And so now priests come. In fact, we just had High Solemn Mass on October 7th. We're going to have another Mass, 10:45, on December 12th.
Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
And we encourage all the priests. I contact priests. Matter of fact, I was just starting because most priests, I would say probably 99% of them in the country don't even know we exist yet.
In
Missouri do because they were sent a letter by Bishop Johnston and some of the priests in Kansas, but most of the country doesn't even know. I contacted EWTN who told me they would just do a story on it. And so hopefully soon that will happen. We're really just getting off the ground there.
Yeah, so you're building. Yeah.
So, Richard, can you speak to our Lord's words, "This is my body given up for you," contrasted with those who support abortion and contraception and say, "This is my body and I will not give it up for you"? Can you speak to the necessity of restoring reverence and dignity in the most holy sacrifice of the Mass in order to build up a culture of life?
Yes, well, that's everything. The truth is everything. And as you go to our website, what do I have there? I can read it verbatim. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the one eternal divine liturgy and worship, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. When people come into the Pro-Life Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, the first thing I ask them, because many people come in thinking it's actually the cathedral, because the cathedral is on the same block, and it's beautiful. Big, large church. They come in, and many people come off the street just to see the beauty of this great church. And first thing I ask them is, what is a priest? And believe it or not, no one except one person in 4.5 years has gotten the correct answer. A priest is one who offers sacrifice. And then I had a second question I asked them, because they give me all these answers. I said, no. And I said, no, a priest is one. I said, where does that priest offer sacrifice? And they look around, and I say, on the altar. This is the Holies of Holies. In the Old Testament, the priests offered lambs, bulls, goats. But now we offer the one sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice, every day at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And we've lost that. Matter of fact, I was born in 1957, so the first 10 years of my life, you know, we had everywhere I went in the world, it was the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It was in Latin. It was the sanctuary, the Holies of Holies, and it was the priest offered the sacrifice of our Lord on the altar. And so we kind of lost a lot of that reverence. Mm-hmm. And the solemnity and the sacredness and the grandeur and the beauty, they're all integral. And why was God so specific in the Old Testament how the sacrifice, how the temple was to be built, how the sacrifice was offered? Matter of fact, in what chapter of the Old Testament you had, they didn't offer the sacrifice correctly, and they were all killed. They all died. A lot of people say, well, it's a Eucharistic celebration on the table. It's not a table, it's an altar. And this is a sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the only sacrifice that can atone for our sins. We can make reparation for our sins, but we can't atone for them. Only Christ can. And only can confer that through himself, through the church, through the sacrament. Until we get back to that reality, we cannot stop this Holocaust, because without the grace of God, we can do nothing but evil. Many people live on a natural plane, but they will not stay there. They will not. You either descend to the supernatural life of grace, or you will descend into the unnatural. And that's why we have satanic sodomy and perversion and LGBTQ, because people have given up on the supernatural. And they will have to descend to the unnatural. They will have to descend to the base. if I didn't have, I go to Mass every day. If I didn't have the sacraments, the truths of the faith, the foundation and the sacraments, which part the grace, I would be where the people that I go to plead with not to kill the babies, because I would be blinded. St. Augustine said the fruit of sin is what? Blindness. And people think charity is letting them do what they want. No, charity is telling people the truth. And the consequences of rejecting God, eternal separation from God.
Well, Richard, we're rapidly running out of time, so let's just wrap things up by asking if you would, or maybe I should say if you're able, because you've just given us a lot of good information over these past two shows. So give us a quick summary of your apostolate work and what final thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm going to wrap up on the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in St. Joseph, Missouri, which now has become a national pro-life memorial shrine dedicated to offering the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at the end of the abortion holocaust, in atonement for each baby murdered and the conversion of their parents. The mission of the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception is to bring all mankind to the throne of God's infinite mercy by authentic repentance and conversion. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, bring to me all mankind, especially all sinners, and immerse them in the ocean of my mercy. Justice and mercy were purchased by the blood of Christ offered up each day at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass for the salvation of souls. For Christian morality and behavior to be reestablished, the truths of the Holy Roman Catholic Church need to be implanted in the minds of all people. Christianity consists in knowing and recognizing what we have lost in Adam, what we have received from our Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine of original sin and its consequences on the one hand, and the grace received through the sacrament of life of the Church to counteract these vices, seven deadly sins, inherited from our ancestors on the other. Christian society has been invaded by a base naturalism that does not allow man to elevate thoughts above his feelings, replacing Christian virtue with secular utilitarianism. Sacredness of life is what must be proclaimed, and the infinite value of our Lord Jesus Christ's passion and death to redeem us and to free us from sin, not that we continue in that sin, but to give us the life. The greatest problem we have in America is, first, we've said the baby's not a baby in the womb. Well, first of all, who's the first person after our Lord Jesus Christ to recognize? Who's the person after the Immaculate Virgin Mary to recognize our Lord Jesus Christ? It was John the Baptist in the womb. And what does the Bible say? The baby in the womb leapt for joy. Our Lord is only 3 days old, and yet John the Baptist recognized his Lord and Savior. You know, my grandfather went through the Industrial Revolution. My father went through the Technological Revolution. We are now going through the Genetic Revolution. If we do not take hold of this science, then we will reap in the Antichrist. We are in an apocalyptic time where death and Satan want to raise its head and proclaim authority over all human life. Well, we, as Catholics, have to bring the kingdom of God and usher in the reign of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, so we will not be slaves of the Antichrist. So anyway, we'll leave it at that, and we'll take that up at another point.
Okay, Mr. Richard Mahoney. Viva Cristo Rey. Mr. Richard Mahoney, founder and director of the Pro-Life Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in St. Joseph, Missouri, and of the National American Holocaust Memorial in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you so much for taking the time to inform our listeners about these two blessed places in our country. And you've given us also a lot of things to contemplate during this most holy season of Advent. So God bless you for all you are doing for love of God and souls. And we hope to have you back on Pro-Life to the Max sometime in the future.
Well, God bless you. Viva Cristo Rey. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Well, be sure to check out the websites for both the Pro-Life Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, which is prolifeshrine.org, and for the National American Holocaust Memorial at cpforlife.org/memorial. Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that this most holy and grace-filled season of Advent will be for you a time to prepare your heart well for the coming anew of our little King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.